Welcome to Healthy Voyager Radio. I'll be your host, the Healthy Voyager, Carolyn Scott. Welcome to Healthy Voyager Radio here on AM 1680, KDSV, AdrenalineRadio.com, and AdviceRadio.com. I'm Carolyn Scott, a.k.a. the Healthy Voyager from HealthyVoyager.com. We are officially into the fall season and moving rapidly toward October and the start of the holiday season. Well, that's what I like to say because I like the Halloween season. So today's show is brought to you by Model House, the movie. Model House is a movie in production that you can be involved in. If you visit myspace.com/Model House or the Model House Facebook page, or if you follow them on Twitter, you can find out more information on how you can get your chance for a role in the upcoming film. They will be casting all over the world, pretty much. The U.S., Switzerland, Greece, Italy, and the U.K. looking for girls 13 through 30 to hopefully appear in this Hollywood movie. So definitely check them out online on MySpace, Facebook, and Twitter, Model House. Check it out. So today's show is about becoming fiscally fit. And I'm not saying physically, I'm talking fiscally, like financially fit. We've been hearing a bunch of mixed messages lately about how the recession might be over and the unemployment and rates are still so crazy high. And then we hear that the housing is stabilizing, but, you know, retail sales are still low and on and on and on and on. So regardless of what's really going on, most everyone has been really hit pretty hard this year. And we have found all kinds of ways to muddle through it, be it coupon cutting or cutting back on certain activities or vacations or all that sort of thing. And we're all hoping that 2010 brings some brighter financial days. But the one thing that we have done is kind of learn how to reset our spending habits, as well as kind of figuring out what we can really survive on, what we don't need, and what's kind of superfluous in our lives. It's also sparked quite a bit of creativity in folks who've sort of risen from the ashes of financial despair by starting their own businesses and services and really making the most of the tough times in some pretty innovative ways. So in a way, it might be a good thing for us as a nation, because perhaps we've learned some valuable lessons in saving money and not overspending and kind of planning things out and being resourceful and creative. And with the upcoming holiday season, it might seem like this year is not ideal for gift gorging and that it's kind of sneaking up on us a little too quickly. But I know for it kind of feels like the speed of this year and the year's end is around the corner, and that it might feel like it's adding insult to injury that all of these holiday commercials are already starting to sprout up. So like I said in the past, keeping your health and stress levels down around this time of year is going to help you get through this time of year and not let the stress of financial burdens year end and holiday get to you too much. So yep, diet and exercise plays a big role this time of year, but we'll get to that regardless of the holidays and later shows. Today it's going to be all about financial fitness. Yeah, in November I'm going to be doing a gift guide show, so I'll have some good affordable gifts. So fear not, you can have fun holidays and get to 2010 without breaking your bank. So my guest today is a phenomenal resource for many young Americans when it comes to personal finance and entrepreneurship. Affectionately known as the go-to guy for young people and their money, Peter now gives over 100 presentations a year for high school and college students, as well as members of the military. Recently, financial corporations and credit unions, financial aid administrators, and even parents have called upon him to assist them in getting young Americans excited about their personal finance. Mixing humor and emotion with real-life examples, Peter empowers audiences of all ages to get started today on managing their money. He's got wonderful books and other resource products to help you get on your feet, but I will let him tell you more about himself. Calling in from Japan right now, I'm so grateful that he could make it on today's show, is none other than Peter Billigas. Peter, are you there?
I am.
Hello, Peter.
How are you?
How is 3 a.m. in Japan treating you?
Well, you know, it's not as bad as I thought, because ever since I got over here, I've been waking up at about 3 a.m. Just because of the time change. So it's not as brutal as it sounds.
Okay, good. Good. Well, are you in Japan for a speaking engagement or for fun? Sounds like a
little of both. I'm here for a week speaking to the United States Navy, so we're talking at a whole bunch of bases around Japan, and then I figured since I'm over here, I'm going to sneak in a week's vacation while I'm here.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, cool. So tell us what influenced you to begin your path to being a financial and entrepreneurship guru.
Well, it was basically out of a complete disaster. when I was in college, I spent a little too much money. I signed up for every credit card they would put in front of me, and I usually would sign up just to get the free stuff that they were giving away, whether it was T-shirts or movie tickets or whatever. And, you know, I, like most people, didn't really have any financial training in high school, and I didn't really know how damaging all of this stuff was. And, you know, I would charge stuff on my credit card and then get the bill, and, you know, I owed them $1,000, but they only wanted 25, so I'd send in the 25 and just think, well, that was easy. And then eventually I kept doing that until one day a bill came in from a Chase Manhattan credit card, and I couldn't even make the minimum payment. And I knew that was probably a problem. You know, if I owed them about $5,000, but they only wanted a tiny fraction of that, and I couldn't even give them that tiny fraction, then I knew something was wrong. And so I picked up a book on personal finance, and from that book I really learned two basic things. Number one, how much I didn't know, and how much somebody starting at that age, and I was 19 at the time, how much potential somebody that age had. And so one book turned into two, which eventually turned into 300. I wrote a book of my own specifically for college students and young professionals about personal finance. And then I just started speaking at colleges all over the country, because most college students were like me, where you just don't get any formal financial training. Even if you're a finance major, most of your training is corporate finance, not personal, everyday, how to buy or lease a car kind of stuff. Mm. And that was about 6 years ago, and I've just been traveling around ever since.
So how shortly after your disaster did you write that book? Was it after you graduated, or while you were in school?
I worked on it for a long time because I made a fatal mistake that most writers make, which is I wrote the book in a closet without showing it to anybody and without taking the time to learn how the publishing process works. So I started the book when I was 19, and I wrote it for 4 years before I actually started showing it to publishers. And then it was published when I was 24. That's when it came out.
Neat. So how many versions did you go through from start to finish if you'd kind of written it in your own little, you know, black hole before anyone saw it?
Yeah, I went through a lot of versions, and that was, the huge problem with it is that I never showed it to anyone. And I would fix this. I wouldn't really do brand new versions. I'd just tweak a little bit here, tweak a little bit there. And then by the time I eventually showed it to a professional editor, they just, rather than going at it with the scalpel, they just went at it with the axe. And, it literally became a completely different book once I showed it to that person.
So you had learned your lesson while you were writing your books. Tell us, did you get out of that hole, the financial hole?
Yes, I did. I was able to get out of that financial hole, and I did. I heard in your sort of introduction about, you know, this time we're in right now. Nobody likes to say what you said, but I do think there's some truth to it that, you know, part of this is a little bit of a good thing. And the reason why is because sometimes we just don't bother paying attention until things get really bad. I mean, if you have a great job, and if the value of your house is going up, and if the interest rates on your credit cards are going down, then you don't really worry too much about, you know, your personal finances. Everything is fine. You don't worry about cutting back. You don't worry, you know, did I buy a car that's a little too big or over my head? It really takes like a very, very hard slap in the face for people to pay any attention. And that's pretty much what obviously happened now, and that's what happened to me on a smaller scale several years ago. And I just started making little tiny changes in my life. And, you know, slowly over time that added up, and the money that I saved, I threw it towards my credit card debt.
Smart. Well, let's take a quick break because we have a lot of information to cover because you are a plethora of information for not only young Americans, I think Americans in general. You have some great advice. So will you stay on with us, Mr. Peter?
Yes, I will.
Great. We'll be right back.
This is Wendy Malick from Just Shoot Me, here to tell you about Pets 911, a free public service changing the way we care for pets in every community nationwide. Across the country, there are thousands of healthy, adoptable pets waiting for a loving home every day. By calling 1-888-PETS-911 or visiting 1-888-PETS-911.org, you will find the location of your closest adoption facility as well as tons of other information you need to know as a responsible pet owner. So when thinking adoption, think Pets 911.
When people say you're bright, they mean you've got a lot going on up there. It's not something people who use drugs hear much, because over time, drugs can change their brain. And the more times they try drugs, the more they want them. It's called addiction, and it's a disease that will waste your brain. For information, visit StopDrugAddiction.org or call 1-800-729-6686.
Does your baby weigh over 500 pounds? According to the Environmental Protection Agency, a person must weigh over 500 pounds to safely process the amount of mercury still present in certain vaccines, including flu shots. And yet, these shots are recommended for pregnant women and infants.
The federal government knowingly allows mercury to be injected into children and pregnant women, but encourages it?
Yes, and that's despite numerous scientists from our best universities who have shown mercury in vaccines kills brain and immune cells and is linked to the autism epidemic. One in every six children now suffers from a learning disability.
They're trying to tell us something, but we don't seem to get it.
In 1999, the federal government and physician groups vowed to remove mercury from children's vaccines, but they have refused to honor promises made.
Mercury-free vaccines are available, but I know you have to ask for them. Demand only mercury-free vaccines, especially if you're pregnant or have a small child.
This ad brought to you by MomsAgainstMercury.org. KnowMercury.org. Friends and parents of children injured by mercury. Korean vaccines.
Welcome back to Healthy Voyager Radio here on AM 1680 KDSV, AdrenalineRadio.com, and AdviceRadio.com. We are back on with financial fitness coach Peter Billigas. Are you there?
I still am.
Sounds good. Didn't fall asleep on us yet.
No.
So we were mentioning before the break that you had written a book. And since then, I know you've written another book. Would you explain to us what the first book was about and then what the second one is about?
Sure. The first book was entitled Getting Loaded, and it was essentially just a complete personal finance guide for students and young professionals. It took you through every aspect of your financial life from doing a budget to writing goals to buying a car, renting an apartment, all the way up to investing in the stock market, investing for retirement, credit cards, and even buying a house. And the book is sort of chopped into 50 very short chapters that, you know, each chapter you can read in about 10 or 15 minutes. And it just takes you through each part of your financial life. The second book that I wrote is a book entitled Quick Cash for Teens, and it's an entrepreneurship guide for teenagers.
Neat.
I speak at high schools and colleges and military bases all over the world, and a lot of the times I would speak to high school students, and I would tell them that, you know, rather than making minimum wage when I was in high school, there were times when I was making $25, $35, even $75 an hour running my own business. Hmm. And, you know, a lot of people, high school students, started to ask me, well, how did you do that? And so I decided to write a book that literally took them step by step through the entrepreneurship process, and even offered, which the book does, over 100 very simple businesses that high school students can start for very little money.
Neat. That's great. And so you started out with that, the Getting Loaded, and then went to the entrepreneurship. I know that you started a program for high schoolers called IWillPayForYourProm.com.
Yes.
Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that's just a fundraiser where I come to a high school and I put on a financial seminar, and we sell tickets to the seminar, and then a percentage of the tickets, of the ticket sales, gets donated right back to the high school, even though the word prom is in the title. The fundraiser can really be used for anything, whether it's a soccer team or a Lions club or a class trip. But typically, using the example of prom, when we do the seminar, it can make prom, depending on the budget of the prom and whether or not you're going to have a band or a DJ and that kind of stuff. But many times it can make the prom tickets for everybody drop down to like $3 or $4 a person, or in many cases it can even make prom free for everybody.
Wow!
And you know, rather than doing a bake sale and raising $200 or $300, which is great, but that's not very much money. You know, this can raise several thousand dollars in one night. So that's a program that we're pretty excited for, and I really developed that program because I wanted to start speaking at more high schools.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is I've run into far too many college students and far too many young members in the military who will be 19 years old, and they'll say to me, "Peter, I'm 19 and I'm being chased by a collection agent." And I would just say, like, "What? You're 19? How did you do that so fast?" And so I really realized that, you know, I got to reach students and service members before they get into trouble, not, okay, now that you're into trouble, here's what you do. I wanted to reach them before they even got into trouble at all, so that meant just more programs at high schools.
Neat. Yeah, that's a great idea, because you're right. In college, they get you good with the free movie tickets or the free pizza coupon and all that crap just to get you to sign up for that credit card, and then that credit card is like magic money.
It is. Yeah, and I mean, as much as I, you know, nowadays point the finger at others, I have to always remember to look in the mirror, because I was that person. You know, I was $5,000 in debt within 6 months of my freshman year. And, you know, that's pretty darn fast to spend that much money, especially considering I was working at the time. It's one of those things where I just want to reach people before they get into such a disaster.
What do you find to be the most prominent pitfall when it comes to achieving personal finance success?
I think that's a good question. I think there's a couple things. The first one is that people fool themselves into thinking that there is going to be a good time to get started on their financial life.
Mm.
You know, people always say, "Well, Peter," they'll come to one of my seminars or one of my talks, and they'll say, "Peter, I'm definitely going to get started on that stuff, just not right now." And I say, "Why not right now?" And they say, "Well, right now I'm moving to a new city, or I will get a raise in February, and that's when I'll take care of this, or I'll get a tax refund later this year, and that's when I'll take care of it." And, you know, there's always something. It could be, well, my car just broke, or I'm about to get married, or I'm about to get divorced, or it doesn't matter. There's always going to be something in the way. So there's never going to be a good time to get started. So I tell people you should just start today, and you can start with something very, very simple, like grabbing a piece of paper and writing a list of all your financial goals and what you think they might cost. I think the first thing is people fool themselves that there's going to be a good time to get started.
Hmm.
Or people say to me, "The stock market is so down, I can't get started now," or "The stock market is too high, I can't get started now." You know, it's always going to be something.
Right.
I think the other thing is credit cards are certainly a big deal. You know, personal finance is relatively simple. If X amount of money comes in, then a little bit less than X can go out, and you need to save the difference for a rainy day. That's pretty much personal finance in one sentence.
Hmm.
So if it's that simple, why are we all so messed up? And debt is a big reason why most Americans are having, you know, way too many problems. And I'm not the person that says blanket, never borrow anything or never get a credit card. I mean, I mentioned that I'm hanging out in Japan for a week after my tour here, and most of that trip is paid for through credit card points, which have gotten me free hotels and free airline tickets just through the responsible use of credit cards over the years. Mm. But I tell people, when it comes to debt, try as best you can to set yourself up to win. If you do have a credit card and you're a little bit free with it, then set yourself up to win by, you don't have to carry it around all the time.
Right.
You can leave it at home, and that way when you go out, if you go out for dinner but you walk by a store that has a nice sweater that you really, really want, well, you know what, then you'll have to come back and get it later because you left your credit card at home.
That's smart.
So, yeah, I would say those two things of the responsible use of debt and more importantly, just the whole idea of there's never going to be a good time to get started, so you might as well get started today.
Great. Is there a significant difference in the reasons why people get themselves into financial trouble, whether they're students or adults, or do you think there's a common reason?
I think that's a good question. I think there is a common reason, and the common reason is very simple, that it's all about knowing what you want, knowing what you are willing to give up to get that, and then knowing where your money goes every single day. And those three questions, if you can answer those, you'd never have any problems in your financial life. And most people can only answer the first one, what do I want? Okay, I want a college degree, or I want a master's degree, or I want a house, or I want to move to wherever. They know that, but they can't tell me, what are you willing to give up to get that? You know, somebody, when I was a financial advisor and I would see people one-on-one, people would say to me, yeah, I want to buy a new car. And I'd say, no problem. What are you willing to give up to get that car? And they couldn't answer that question. And I can tell people very specifically, you know, what I gave up to come to Japan for a week's vacation, or what I gave up so I could have the house that I have, or I know where in my life I am willing to cut back. A lot of people need to know that. And both college students and young professionals or working professionals typically can't answer that question. And then the third question is probably the most powerful financial question there is, and it's something that, again, nobody knows the answer to, and that is, where does your money go every single day? And I think a great tip for your listeners is, if they can take a week of their life, or maybe even a whole month, and write down everything that they spend money on, literally everything. I mean, you put 35 cents into a parking meter, write that down. If you buy a coffee, write that down. If you get a new phone, write that down. Because at the end of that week or that month, you will see every single day where your money goes. And with that list of where your money's actually going, you're able to sort of transform your financial life, simply because you're not just somebody walking around spending money with no idea where it's headed. You know where it's going, and you know that, you know what, I threw a lot of money at taxi cabs. And that's not really one of my goals. I don't want to throw that money towards taxi cabs, so I'm going to be a little bit more aware of how much I spend on taxi cabs, or how much I spend on iTunes, or how much I spend on coffee, or eating out, or whatever it may be. If you can know the answers to those three questions, you wouldn't have much trouble in your financial life. And unfortunately, students and professionals alike can't answer that those questions.
Yeah, they're tough, and you know, it's tough to admit too when you're looking at, oh man, I have been throwing my money away, crap.
You know? Right, it is, and a lot of people will say that they'll say to me, Peter, I have cut back on everything already, and they'll say, you know, Peter, I gave up cable, Peter, I did this, I've already given up everything, and then I say, okay, well, just try doing this exercise, and we'll just see so much. Money going away in various places. I just did this exercise with a friend of mine. Now, he is living in New York City in a studio apartment that he's sharing with somebody else. So you think, okay, this guy has cut back. He's living in a studio with someone else as a roommate. But we did this exercise for him over a month, and we found that he was spending $2,500 on food every single month. And and he couldn't, you know, and he makes decent money, but he just couldn't make it work because so much money was being spent on food, because he would buy a $3 coffee and then a $20 lunch and then a $30 dinner and then a snack, and then, you know, and that just kept happening every single day, where he would be spending, you know, close to $75 a day on food because he was eating out three meals a day. And, you know, you'd think that he would have cut back enough by moving into a studio with one other person. But, you know, it wasn't until we did this exercise that it was revealed.
That's interesting. Do you feel that in this economy, and I know we mentioned it before, that people really are starting to learn, I guess we are as a nation starting to really figure out that we need to tighten our belts and be a little bit more responsible with our spending? Or do you see that it might just be a slap on the wrist and it might not change our habits?
That is a good question, and I thought we were doing pretty well. Remember that, you know, in this crisis that we're in, everybody, our first knee-jerk reaction is to say we're in this crisis because of the fat cats on Wall Street, and it's their fault. And a large part of it is their fault. But a large part of it is just that the average person doesn't have any money saved or doesn't have a plan to sort of save for the long term. So when someone on Wall Street does some funny business, we're not braced for it at all. And I thought we were doing pretty well. I did, unfortunately, just see an article in the paper that says we're now back up to buying giant cars again. And you know, the problem there is that, I mean, if you want a giant car, buy a giant car. That's I try not to preach about that. The problem is that I'm not sure a lot of people are thinking that, well, what if gas goes back up, which I think it will. And so all of a sudden, you know, I don't even want to ask what you guys are paying in California. But where I am, you know, around $2.60 a gallon, I can afford that. But if it goes to $3.50 a gallon, then all of a sudden it's a completely different financial world I'm living in. And I'm not sure people are remembering that situation of, you know, back to the close to $4 a gallon gas, and I'm not sure they're thinking that far ahead by buying these larger cars.
Yeah, I think we do have short-term memory when it comes to certain things, but I sure don't. It is tough, though. It is tough, especially out in California. Yeah, we're at $3-something for the cheapest gas. So
right. I mean, there's something that I try to tell people about, and it's a force that I call chain reaction shopping. And that just states that one purchase will lead you to more purchases. So, you know, a simple example would be the car. If you think you can afford the car, great, but remember that as soon as you buy the car, there's gas, there's insurance, there's upkeep, there's all of that stuff. If you move into a larger apartment, well, now you say, okay, well, now that we have more room, we need more furniture, and we need more this, and we should get another couch, and we need curtains, and all of a sudden, you know, you thought, well, it's just another $100 a month in rent, we can afford that. But all of a sudden you move in, and then you're spending another $1,000 to sort of refurnish the place.
Right.
And that's just something that Americans really, really need to be careful of. Everybody talks about the mortgage crisis, and that certainly is an issue. But a lot of the issues with owning a home are, you know, the mortgage payment is only one part of it. You have the taxes, you have the insurance. But then you just have the, I got to furnish this house, I got to clean this house, I got to spend this money, you know, on this house, because now that it's mine, I want to do this. And it just starts that sort of chain reaction with shopping. So I try to tell people, one of the reasons your budgets or your spending gets out of control without you knowing it is because you sign up for a purchase that you think that you can afford without knowing that that purchase sets off a chain reaction of five other purchases that you pretty much have to buy. And that's what kind of busts your budget.
Yeah, it can get so easy to just, at, like, you know, Target, I like to call that the $100 store. You just go there for, you know, bags, you know, trash bags, and then you walk out with $100 worth of crap because, oh, that's only $4, and, oh, that neat thing is only $3, and, you know, it's hard to put stuff away when it looks cheap, but then you add it up, and it's just absurd.
Right.
So in the next segment, we're going to take a break, but in the next segment, would you mind sharing with us some of your knowledge and your tips, kind of like an abbreviated version of what you normally speak at your seminars?
Not at all.
That would be great. So stay with us, because after the break, we're going to get a money pep talk from Peter.
You drink it? Cook with it? It's there every time you turn on the faucet. But what do you really know about your tap water? Do you know where it comes from or what's in it? You should, and now you can. Your water supplier will soon be sending you a short new report about your water. Look for it in the mail, and when it comes, read it. Don't let this chance to learn about your drinking water go down the drain. Learn more by calling your water supplier or 1-877-EPA-WATER.
Road Rage Crisis Line.
I feel so depressed.
Oh, it's not as dark as it may seem.
But I'm always being pushed down.
You know, recognizing the problem is the first step.
Oh, I recognize the problem. He's always late.
I see.
And I never move fast enough for him. But what can I do? I'm just a gas pedal.
So, he exceeds the speed limit?
Exceeds the speed limit? He runs red lights, he races around other drivers, and then he yells if he thinks they're going too slow.
Well, maybe it's time to start putting your foot down.
Well, maybe it's time he stopped putting his foot down.
An overworked gas pedal might sound crazy, but putting your life at risk by whipping through traffic and running lights is just plain insane. Think about it, and ease up on aggressive driving.
If he keeps pushing me at this pace, I'm bound to run out of gas.
Well, maybe that's not such a bad idea.
Keep your cool, and put the brakes on road rage.
This message was brought to you by your friends at AdrenalineRadio.com. Log on, then call. AdrenalineRadio.com.
Hard at work for over 60 years, Dram watering tools have been the professional's choice for quality and durability. Now you can create the softest shower of rain. 9 water patterns for a variety of uses. Or a lush green playground. Quality you can depend on for a lifetime. Dram, the professional's choice for lawn and garden. Available at a fine garden center near you.
Thanks for tuning in to Healthy Voyager Radio here on AM 1680, KDSV, AdrenalineRadio.com, and AdviceRadio.com. We are back on with Peter Bilegas, and he's going to tell us what to do, give us some insight on how we can get financially fit, and perhaps some tips on anyone who is interested in starting their own business, kind of an abbreviated version of what he covers in his seminars. Right, Peter?
That's right.
Cool. So, tell us kind of a little bit how you normally start off and get people engaged in listening to what you have to say and giving us some good things that we can start putting into place today to get our wallets on track.
Well, two of the things we've already talked about. The first one is, remember, there's never going to be a good time to get started, so you might as well get started today. It can be something very, very simple, just like writing a list of your goals or what have you. But just don't fool yourself that after you listen to the show and you say, oh, yeah, I'll definitely do that. Let me just wait till the weekend. Something's going to come up this weekend that's going to prevent you from getting started. So that's the first thing. Don't fool yourself that there's going to be a good time to get started. Today is a good time. The second thing is, and I realize this is two of these lists are easy. The third one is not. But what we already talked about, writing down three lists, a list of your goals, a list of what you are willing to give up in your life to reach those goals, and then take a week or even a month of your life and just carry around a little notebook or just get a receipt for everything that you buy, everything, and sort of total that up at the end of the week to see where your money is going. One of the things about personal finance that I stress to people is personal finance is all about financing or paying for your personal life. So before we go too far into stocks and bonds and mutual funds and credit scores, you need to know why am I bothering doing any of this stuff? And it's going to be on that first list, that goal sheet. That second list is a list of what you don't care about. So many people, especially college students and junior service members, they always say to me, Peter, you don't get it. Okay, I don't have a spending problem. I have an income problem. I just don't have enough money coming in. That's the problem. And, you know, I get that completely, that income is an issue. But another issue that we often ignore is just the issue of focus. And it's about saying, I'm going to get this stuff over here. And the way that I get this stuff over here is I give up these things over there. You know, I have met and worked with lottery winners, and a lot of people are under the impression that, well, once you win the lottery, that takes care of everything. But I've worked with lottery winners who receive annuities of close to $700,000 a year, and they still can't make stuff work. And it's not because they don't have the income, it's because they don't have the focus. And they don't know what they're giving up in order to get the things that they want. And then that third list is just kind of a list of where is your money going every single day, and once you have that list, you'll know where can I cut back. Or when you have that list of what you don't care about or what you're willing to give up, you know, you'll know that when you walk into the grocery store and you about to buy some trash bags, you're like, you know, I don't really need a brand-name trash bag to throw my trash away in. I don't really need to sneeze into a brand-name tissue. Remember that advertisers are spending billions of dollars to make sure that we do care about those brands, but we need to write a conscious list of what we don't care about in order to sort of combat that. So those are the first things, two things that I would start with. Number one, recognize there's never going to be a good time. Number two, write down those three lists, a list of what you want, a list of where a list of what you don't want, and a list of where your money's going every single day. The third thing that I would do, if you haven't already, is everybody needs to get into the habit of checking their credit report once a year for the rest of their lives. The website to check your credit report is annualcreditreport.com. It's annualcreditreport.com. Now, you'll see a lot of advertisements these days for other websites where you should check your credit report that seems to be free, but annualcreditreport.com is the only website where your credit report is truly free. They don't even ask for your email address, so you're not going to get spammed or anything like that. But on annualcreditreport.com, you can get a free copy of your credit report, and remember, you actually have three reports, three different companies compile credit reports. And in 2003, these companies were basically forced by the federal government to give everybody a free copy of their credit report once a year. And these companies got together and they designed this website, annualcreditreport.com. And what you want to do is you want to just go to this website, log on, and print out a copy of each one of your credit reports, and you want to look them over for mistakes. 70% of all credit reports have a mistake that's not the fault of the owner of the credit report. So you could have a mistake on there that, you know, one digit is wrong on your zip code, or you could have a huge mistake on there that that your financial life has literally been crossed with someone else's. The people that are most vulnerable are the people who have more common last names, like Smith, Jones, Johnson, Martin, Miller, Clark, Williams, Brown, Black, Green, White, Baker, Henry, Parker, Lewis, Lloyd, Wood, Rodriguez, Gonzalez. Those people who have more common last names are far more susceptible to having a mistake. Or if you're a junior or a senior or you're the third in your family, those people are very, very likely to have a mistake on their report. And we just need to get into the habit of looking that over every single year. And if there is a mistake, there are instructions right on the website on how to get those mistakes fixed. But, you know, you could check it this year and it's fine, next year it's fine, and then the third year or the fifth year, there could be a mistake on there that's not your fault. And it's just getting tougher and tougher and tougher to get a loan these days, so it's very, very important to make sure that that credit report is clean and that there's nothing on there that's not your fault.
And how easy is it for someone to be able to dispute a mistake on the report?
That's a good question. The law states that you're supposed to be able to do it within 30 days, and if they cannot prove it to you in 30 days that it's your fault, they have to take it off the report. That's what the law states, but unfortunately, it doesn't always work that way. A lot of times, what I've been seeing lately with credit reports is you'll dispute something. You'll say, please prove to me that I did this. And they will send you back a very quick and simple email that simply reads, we checked this out and it's fine, or it's correct, or it's valid. And they don't tell you anything more than that. And personally, I just think that's a very sloppy way of doing business on their end. you have the right under the Fair Credit Reporting Act to say, okay, fine, if you think that it's valid, please send me the proof on how you determined that this particular thing was valid. Now, ideally, they should have just sent you that right away rather than sending you that sort of, you know, go-away email. Yeah. But they should send you that right away, but unfortunately a lot of them are not doing that. So you have to bite a little bit harder and say, okay, if you think I did this, just send me the proof. And if they cannot send you the proof, and if they do not send you the proof in a timely manner, which is another 30 days, then they have to take it off the report. The catchy saying is prove it or remove it. Sometimes that doesn't even work, and you might have to write them a nasty letter and say, I ask that you send me the proof on this day. You did not. I asked again. You did not. I need you to send me the proof on this within the next 30 days, or I'm going to report you to the Federal Trade Commission. Hmm. And sometimes if you Google sort of a dispute letter online, there will be sort of a pre-written one that will, you know, you can just type your information into it. But sometimes you do have to get a little bit nasty like that in order to make them turn their heads. It is a little bit of a pain in the butt, but please, under no circumstances, believe that it's not worth it, because it definitely is. That credit report is just controlling so many areas of your financial life. Not only are banks and credit card companies and car loan companies looking at it to determine whether they want to even loan you money, and if so, at what interest rate, but insurance companies are using this to determine what your insurance premiums will be. Cell phone companies check your credit report. And sometimes if you have a terrible credit report, they'll say, okay, you can have the cell phone, but we're going to charge you a $200 deposit. Or you have to buy your phone, Carolyn, because your credit's terrible, but Peter gets the exact same plan and he gets a free phone. believe it or not, utility companies will do the exact same thing. If you have terrible credit, a lot of times utility companies will say, well, your credit's terrible, so we will give you electricity or cable or internet or whatever, but we're going to charge you a $200 deposit that you can get back after 12 months of on-time payments. So it's just kind of more expensive to go through life if you have terrible credit. And sometimes people do, but what people really need to do is make sure that if they have bad credit, it's all their fault, and there's nothing on there that isn't their fault, that they're being punished for something they did not do.
Hmm. That's smart. What's your take on these consumer credit counseling services? They have all these commercials and...
Sure. Yeah. Well, first of all, a couple things with them. Number one is you do need to be careful. There are some great ones out there, but some of them are flat-out fraudulent. And what they've often done is they've taken your money. So they say, we'll pay all your bills. You just pay us $100 a month, and then we'll pay all your bills from there. But a lot of times they would wait 60 days to pay your bills, or sometimes they just wouldn't pay your bills at all. And so, you know, you think you're doing the right thing, but your credit's actually getting worse and worse. So be careful out there. Do your research if you are going to work with a company. A lot of times the appeal of these companies is people will look at their total payments and they'll say, well, you know what, I owe $300 total. But this company, if I work with them, they said they can get my monthly payment, or I owe three, or my payments, excuse me, are $300 a month for all of my debts. But if I work with this company, they can get all of my payments down to $200 a month. And they do that, and then they also charge a $50 per month fee. So my total payments would be $250, but you're thinking, hey, that's a heck of a lot better than paying $300 a month. And this company will do all the work, and I can drop my payments from $300 down to $250. Hmm. And that sounds like a great thing. The issue there is a lot of financial advisors, including myself, would just remind you that you could negotiate all of that with your creditors on your own, and you could, instead of paying them a $50 processing fee per month, you could throw that $50 per month towards your debt, which is going to make your payoff time much, much faster if you can throw that extra amount towards your debt rather than towards the credit counseling service. So ideally, if you can do it yourself, you're going to come out a lot better. You can always attempt it yourself, and if for whatever reason you just can't negotiate what you're trying to negotiate, or you know just find out that you're too busy or whatever, you can always go to one of them at a later date. But I would typically recommend people start on their own first, because whatever processing fee they're going to charge, you're just much better just paying that directly towards your debt.
That's good to know, because I know a lot of people that are thinking about that and on the verge of bankruptcy. So, you know, tipping the scales towards one or the other, it can be kind of
right,
a decision.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
We're going to take one more break, but I did want to have you back on before you go back to sleep or go about your Japanese day, to kind of give us a little bit of insight on entrepreneurship and then, you know, how to contact you and all that good stuff.
Okay.
So I'm going to let you finish after the best PSAs of all time.
All right.
When people say you're bright, they mean you've got a lot going on up there. It's not something people who use drugs hear much, because over time, drugs can change their brain. And the more times they try drugs, the more they want them. It's called addiction, and it's a disease that will waste your brain. For information, visit StopDrugAddiction.org or call 1-800-729-6686.
Hey, Megan?
Yeah?
You're a total freak. God, you're ugly and dumb. Oh, and your makeup makes you look like a tramp.
Oh my God.
And that dress is totally hideous. Disgusting.
If you wouldn't say it in person, why say it online? Delete cyberbullying. Don't write it. Don't forward it. For more information, visit ncpc.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, Crime Prevention Coalition of America, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
And we're back on Healthy Voyager Radio with Peter Bilegas on AM 1680, KDSV, AdrenalineRadio.com, and AdviceRadio.com. So, Peter, you told us gave us some really great tips on credit and financial success and kind of getting our crap together. But if you could tell us a little bit about what you tell young folks or folks in general about entrepreneurship, and then how to contact you and find out more about you and your books and your speaking and all that great stuff, that would be great.
Sure. Probably the best kept secret in the entrepreneurship world is an organization called SCORE, and that's SCORE.org. SCORE.org. And that stands for Senior Corps of Retired Executives. And what this is it's a nonprofit, free organization of retired entrepreneurs who provide free counseling to future entrepreneurs on anything from marketing to business plan review to legal to accounting advice. And you can go and make an appointment at a SCORE office. They have offices in most major cities. Or if you can't get to an office, you can make an appointment online to chat with somebody. And you can just say, hey, here's my business idea. What do you think of it? Or I'm really interested in opening a pizza shop. Do you have a business plan for a pizza shop that I can read? And they have a giant business plan library that that will get very, very specific. You know, it's not just a business plan for opening a restaurant. It's for I want to open a, you know, noodle shop, and they'll have a business plan for that. So definitely, I think a great place for entrepreneurs to start is SCORE, the Senior Corps of Retired Executives, SCORE.org, just because it's totally free. I think that's a great place to start and have your business plan sort of kicked around and brought through the grilling process. But one of the things that I want to remind people, entrepreneurs of all ages or potential entrepreneurs of all ages, is that entrepreneurs actually do better in a down economy. And the reason why is that companies are very quick in a down economy to lay people off and just get rid of everybody, reduce that payroll, and then they hire back very, very slowly. But the way that they hire back is they first start outsourcing everything that they possibly can. So they will fire their in-house graphic designer, and then they'll start looking to have a graphic designer just on a contract basis until they eventually will hire one back full-time. So entrepreneurs are in a pretty good position to do well in a down economy, and if you've sort of been walking around and knocking on doors and handing out resumes, you know, you might want to consider trying the entrepreneurship approach rather than trying to get a job from somebody. In a down economy, it's easier to get work than it is to get a job. So nobody will hire you as a full-time graphic designer at their company, but they certainly will have you do graphic design work. Another great website that I love is a website called elance.com, just the letter E, then the word lance.com. And that's just a website. It's kind of like eBay for temporary contract work. And basically you can log on, sign up an account, and there are people such as myself who are asking for work to be done, whether it's graphic design or web work or writing a program or just research online or edit a manuscript. People like myself are posting those kinds of temporary work jobs on that website all the time, and then you can go in and literally bid on the jobs that are posted there, and you can set your own hours, set your own prices, and you know, that's a great website in a down economy for people to just check out and maybe get some extra work there. So I'd probably say Score and Elance are two great places to start for entrepreneurs. And if you want to find out any more about me and some of my books and programs and speeches and sort of where I've been to in the world, you can just go to my website, which is www.peter, P-E-T-E-R, then the letter B as in boy, and then the word speaks.com, peterbspeaks.com. And you can find all about me there, links to the books and where I am, some of the programs. There's some video footage on the website as well. So I do hope your listeners will check it out. My email address is on that website. If they have a question, anybody, feel free to email me. I'm happy to help out.
Awesome. Thanks, Peter. I think you
sure.
Definitely gave us some wonderful tips, and I hope some of my listeners do get on board with some of those tips and check out your videos and read your books. I know I read Getting Loaded many years ago, and I still follow some of those tips today, so they've been very helpful.
Great.
So you get back to your day in Japan. I appreciate you taking the time to chat with me, and I look forward to future stuff from you.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on your show.
Sure. Thank you. So, everybody, make sure you visit peterbspeaks.com. You can follow him on Facebook and MySpace as well as Twitter. I know on Twitter his name is his username is Getting Loaded with no spaces, but I think you can look him up under Peter Billigas. So definitely check him out, follow him, watch his videos, read his books. He's really got some great information, and his videos are quite funny. So he's entertaining. It's not, you know, droning on boring financial information. So definitely check that out. As for me, you can follow me on Twitter. You can check me out at healthyvoyager.com. Follow me on Facebook and MySpace and YouTube and, excuse me, all over the place. And you can sign up on healthyvoyagerpassportpals.ning.com to share your travel stories and recipes and photos and all kinds of information with other health-minded globetrotters. I'd like to thank Peter Billigas one more time for all of his great info today. Make sure to tune in to AM 1680 KDSV here in LA, as well as AdrenalineRadio.com and AdviceRadio.com next Thursday at 2 p.m. Pacific time, where I will be chatting with a wonderful woman by the name of Lisa Rankin. She's a holistic and vegan OBGYN in the Bay Area who also runs a super website called Owning Pink. We will be chatting about women's health, how to own it, you know, how to own your own, and as well as launching the Breast Cancer Awareness Month with a bang, because October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and she's got some great info on that, and she's great. So be sure to check out next Thursday. And you can check out today's podcast as well as past shows on healthyvoyager.com later today or on iTunes. You can download them for later listening enjoyment. And before we head out, I would love to play us a song by a cool new veggie hip-hop artist by the name of Adeem. The single is called Stride, and you can find out more about Adeem on MySpace. He's also part of a group called Glue, so make sure to check them out. He's got some fun hip-hop, and he's a veggie guy, so great. Have a wonderful weekend, and I will talk to you all again next week. Have a healthy one.
And whatever, doesn't matter, doesn't really matter. It's a timeless anthem.
Talking to myself,
trying to get you moving.
Get up, get up,
I'm
get up.
Talking to myself like,
talking to myself.
I say, self, we need to change.
The kind that gets you excited to face a new day.
You waking up or eating breakfast, keep that blood sugar high.
I fill my nachi with ice so my throat doesn't get dry.
It's only 10:30 and my chest is getting tight.
Focus on my breathing while I'm squinting in the bright lights.
We got errands to run and pay bills to fill the potholes, so it's smooth sailing down that long road.
Finally shaking off last night's performance,
a poor man's version of a life that's filled with torment.
By lunchtime,
you're already exhausted,
so you're ready for a nap or some TV nonsense.
But I can't afford cable, only get busy channels. And who knows how much longer this broken antenna can handle.
I skip the nap and double box, just work to be done.
You're the passive motivation, cause these problems weigh a ton.
I said, I'm trying to get some motivation.
So if you see me broken down and I've lost my stride, tell me everything will be alright.
I said, I'm trying to get some motivation.
So if you see me broken down and I've lost my stride, just tell me.
The repetition will get you if you don't handle it right. But I'm not in the position to be giving advice, cause by the afternoon, my anxiety blooms. So I skip work today and give myself some room to catch the sunset. My doctor told me take one a day.
He said it helps to fight the reality of evil's way.
And it pays to be persistent, be a story of success. So I'm rapping to get this tension right out of my chest. Blessed by karma's opposite, I've been holding it down. Trying to put some positivity right back in my sound. And relax by cooking dinner, take it step by step. Been 11 hours straight and I still haven't slept. When things get crossed off the list, my panic drifts away from my nervous system where my heartbeat sits. My attitude that fuels this passion for music, I'll give the world a throwaway and give you the exclusive.
I'm trying to get some motivation.
So if you see me broken down and I've lost my stride, tell me everything will be alright.
Said I'm trying to get some motivation.
So if you see me broken down.
When no one's looking,
and I've been flying solo late,
and I stopped cheating on myself.
Now I'm sleeping like a baby.
I hit the sheets when no one's looking,
and I've been flying solo late,
and I stopped cheating on myself.
Now I'm sleeping like a baby.
I hit the sheets when no one's looking,
and I've been flying solo late,
and I stopped cheating on myself.
Now I'm sleeping like a baby.
I hit the sheets when no one's looking,
and I've been flying solo late,
and I stopped cheating on myself.
Now I'm sleeping like a baby.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes, between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beach? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air? Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.